It's Thursday, the day we read from your emails.
And we received some complaints about our coverage of the comments Pat Robertson made. On his television show, Robertson said the U.S. government ought to go ahead and assassinate Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez, if that's what Chavez thinks the U.S. is plotting to do.
Well, Ramona Galt of Seattle didn't like the tone she heard in our story.
Despite the fact that Robertson has made many outrageous statements in the past, she writes, his remarks about Mr. Chavez, the elected president of a democratic nation, in my mind, constituted a terrorist threat. Your coverage had an, oh well, there he goes again, quality to it. She continues, I hold NPR to high standards, and I think you owe your listeners an apology.
Rosemary Esty of Denver adds this, your lighthearted story about Pat Robertson calling for the assassination of a foreign leader saddens me. Whatever happened to the straightforward news reporting you used to do?
Some of you caught an error in my conversation with the head of a group called the High Pointers. For the record, Hoosier Hill, the highest point in Indiana, is 1,257 feet high, not a mere 600 feet. Apologies to all you Hoosiers who wrote in.
Air travel in an earlier era was the subject of my interview with Bob Vanderlinden from the National Air and Space Museum. We watched scenes from the 1954 John Wayne movie, The High and the Mighty.
May I introduce your stewardess?
Things are improving. I don't know where my luggage is. The Royal was supposed to send it down.
We'll check right into it, sir.
For John Dupree of Tulsa, Oklahoma, the interview brought back memories.
It reminded me of my first flight around 1950, he writes. I was 11, and my parents put me by myself on a flight from Tulsa to southern Kansas. The stewardess knew it was my first flight and asked if I'd like to visit the cockpit. I said yes and spent 15 to 20 minutes talking with the pilots. As we got ready for our final approach, the stewardess came to take me back to my seat. The pilot asked if I wanted to stay in the cockpit for the landing. Of course, I said yes. I stood in the cockpit as we landed. It was thrilling and probably against all kinds of regulations even then, but I'll never forget it.
Many Australians weren't very happy when they heard about a ban on the use of the term mate.
Security guards at that country's parliament building were barred from using the term to address visitors. As we reported, the ban was very short-lived, thanks to the outrage it generated.
Nick Cooper, who lives down under in Sydney, heard our show, and he writes to thank us for covering the story. It would have been easy to trivialize this issue, Cooper says, without knowing quite how important it is to Australians. The word mate is a part of the Australian psyche and connects us to other Aussies wherever we are in the world. It is an equalizer that says to others, you are the same as me, and I value your opinion.
Finally, some music that jogged the memory of listener John Abbott of Wheaton, Maryland. After listening to your obituary for Robert Moog, the inventor of the Moog synthesizer, he writes, I dug out my copy of Switched on Bach. It sounded great when it came out, and it still does, almost four decades later. Thanks.
Whether you're switched on or switched off by our show, please let us know. You can send us your thoughts by going to our website, npr.org, then click on Contact Us at the top of the page, and direct your comments to All Things Considered. Please don't forget to tell us where you live and how you pronounce your name.